get started. There are a number of agenda ideas, and perhaps we should start with should we start with those agenda ideas, or should we go on?
I usually would have moved the agenda ideas down to like key item number.
Oh,
four.
There, I see them. So yeah. we're good. Status review and discussion. I think we'll skip this right now. There's just the three of us.
I have a status.
You do have a status item?
You mean the critical task at hand. Yes, let's skip that.
Okay.
That's the priority list.
Right. So let's move on to key items for review and discussion today. OOR, quick status update. All right. So there's been some discussion about the roles that each of these play. Now, I made some changes to the sandbox before the others existed, so I guess we should roll those back. Does that sound reasonable?
What do you mean?
I'm testing the idea of putting a new tab in.
There's one instance that we do testing on.
Right.
I guess, yeah. So if we do it on that one, then we'll be fine.
So yeah. Testing is going to be on test.
We don't have a test. We have a dev. I mean, we actually don't clearly label any of them as yet. So if we label one as such, then it'll be okay, and we keep on using that. Now they're almost all generically labeled.
Let's see. Are they?
Sort of.
All right. O3 is labeled sandbox.
All right. Yeah.
O5 is labeled development site.
Right. So if we test, then we might want to run it on the O5. Yeah, O4 is labeled SOCOP.
O6 is labeled test.
O6 is labeled test.
Yeah.
Is there O6 that works?
O6 is, I just brought it up.
Oh, you did? Oh,
I did. If you go to OOR-06.
Oh, I was testing when I was writing up this agenda, and I thought O6 was not up, so maybe you brought it down.
No, I didn't bring it down. It's up. I never brought it down. Did you have a problem with it?
No, it didn't. Let me try. Ah, yes, good. Okay, I better label it then. Sandbox is OOR-03.
O4 is SOCOP.
Right. So our best bet is to do it on O6 then.
Okay. O6, the test, right? All right, so there's 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right. So, everyone...
There's an O1 as well.
The O1 is obsolete.
What are we going to do with O1?
It's obsolete. That's the version 2.6. We're now on version 4 of the BioPortal code. That's the old code.
Why is that still running?
We could bring it down.
So
I could bring it down. I will bring it down.
Okay, so I think we should. Is that okay with you, Michael?
Yeah.
Nobody's doing anything with it, I don't think. Yeah.
Okay, so 01 will be taken down.
We'll just have
3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
As far as I know, nobody's using 01.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, then I was saying I made a change to 03.
Right.
And I'll roll that change back.
And then put it on 06.
Yeah.
So if you refresh the page, I documented things under 35 and 3.
Good.
All right. Actually, while we're here, I have a question for Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, I was really impressed by your showing of the Colore repository, which runs on Google.
That's right.
As the Subversion repository now. Would you be amenable to labeling that as, let's say, colore.oor.net?
What do you mean by labeling?
So that if someone types http://colore.oor.net, then it goes there.
Sure.
All right. So maybe if you type your link to the chat, then I will make that DNS entry.
Okay. Now, do you want the link to
the Google place,
like the main project page, or to the actual SVN source, the ontologies themselves?
I think to the ontologies themselves. Because then the main page would be your Colore project. That would be the Colore repository.
Right. So like right now, that's just it's like Subversion, so there's no gatekeeping or things like that. But we're gradually putting into place like a lot of other sort of procedures and whatnot. So it's starting. It's gathering a little momentum, I should say.
Yes, it's very impressive. So I documented the action item to make the DNS arrangement to make that pointer. Right. So, back to Ken.
Yeah, I was just looking at the. List there. Okay. Very good. So, did you update this?
Give me one moment.
All right. So then the next item is comparing notes on the first attempts to add code/tab to the.
Oh, one more thing. Could we talk? We probably don't want a long discussion, but maybe just mention it so that people could think about it. So on differentiating the various instances, I have some thoughts that I documented below under 35 NL. 35NL.
Okay. Clearly identifying software revision level.
So because everything is generic now, for example, if someone sends in a question for help, we wouldn't even know where it's coming from, whether it's from the sandbox or from the SOCOP or from the dev instances, and then they all look the same, and we don't even know what software is running because there's no place that shows what revision level software is running. So I know we're not going to solve this, but we probably want to think about it for the next meeting.
Yeah, all you need to do is give the specification, and certainly you can just put it on the whole, you know, on the page somewhere.
Hmm.
Let's see. If you go to one of these. There is a release notes section there. If you click on that, we could certainly put information in there.
Release notes? Okay.
That would seem to be the appropriate place for it.
All right. So that's... one of the things. Let's discuss in more detail next week, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you need to do in order to accomplish this is to identify the different pieces of information that you want mentioned on that page,
mm-hmm.
and then you just put that into the configuration file. It's just the usual way that you do these things, to put it into the configuration file, and then the information is mapped to this page. So it's not like you actually change this page, you only change the configuration file.
Right. So that's actually the metadata for the ontology repository.
Right. It's the metadata for the ontology repository itself.
So maybe between now and next meeting, would one of you sort of...
Michael, has there been any... Has that come up at all in the metadata discussions?
The metadata discussion on ontologies, not on ontology repositories. So.
Yeah.
It would seem appropriate. I mean, there's...
We might as well. Yeah.
Like
who is
maintaining this repository? I mean, where do you send email?
Yeah, especially because we're talking about Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So which
and Federation would
that,
really be important.
That's exactly what we need for Federation. So.
So I don't know. Does OMD have anything like that?
No. No, because it's all about the ontologies themselves, like Peter was saying.
Uh-huh.
So maybe again next week.
Okay, great. Maybe we should definitely announce that that's what we're going to discuss.
Right.
Actually,
right.
If we're talking about next week, that's the 6th, right?
Right.
So the 13th and 20th were not good with Mike Bennett. And so I was just trying to find out if March 6th would be okay with him. Would that be okay if we, if it ends up being okay for them, we can switch the meetings around?
No problem.
Okay, I'm still waiting to get confirmation about the 6th, because otherwise it'll have to be the 27th or something.
All right. So I will make a note at the end that we might swap the two dates.
Yeah, because it's getting kind of dicey. I'm, you know, because I was. It's Mike Ushold and Mike Bennett, and maybe Elisa would be involved. And so we got like a lot of calendars conflicting.
Okay, sure. So I just made a note at the very bottom under next meeting, under 35NX.
Okay.
So you let us know as soon as you can, Michael?
You bet. Yep. Yeah. No, of course. Yeah.
Great, thanks.
All right. Okay, I better document this, the ontology metadata, somewhere. Where? Okay. Probably time to start discussing metadata for ontology repositories.
And make it clear that this has to be compatible with the Federation.
Ontologies. We would need this to support Federation.
I mean, most of this kind of data would be appropriate for any kind of federation, actually, not just ontology repositories.
Yeah, well, I mean, that kind of goes back to the old question I always have is how are ontology repositories different from arbitrary code repositories? But it's a lot of overlap in functionality.
Oh
yeah. I mean, if we could make use of that other functionality, it would be great. But
yeah.
Yeah, if you look, refresh and look below 35NL again. So, Michael, you take a lead on this?
Yes.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that such an ontology exists for any kind of repository.
No, I don't think there's a standard set of metadata for this. But I'll take a look around, like, looking up you know, other kinds of federation, like you said.
Yeah, that'd be useful. Maybe if there is a community that does this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Though I frankly doubt it. They probably just handle this kind of thing ad hoc in each case.
Yeah, no, undoubtedly.
Yeah. Okay. What is this announcement about your group's plan to use a set of student projects? Isn't that what you just talked about, 35?
No, so this is it's not my group, really. It's so the group in Bremen, which is kind of led by Phil Masatovsky, there's a course that will be kind of intensive course offered in March, and what they want to do is have the students working on some functionality related to an open ontology repository. It's kind of a Ruby on Rails course. That's one of the main technologies the students learn, you know, integrating things with databases, services, all kind of that kind of stuff. And so they want to kind of have the students kind of work on a repository front end and its integration with a database back end in a way that can support multiple ontology languages and do the simple sorts of functionality. The idea being that they want to kind of just make a rapid prototype sort of thing or kind of a OOR functionality. And initially they were looking to OOR for some of the design documents, so I pointed them, I got in touch with Todd and pointed the Bremen group to the all the existing OOR documentation. And they have a Google Docs document, so you can kind of find out what they're thinking of. unfortunately, they don't want to make it completely public before the course starts. But I'm sending till the addresses of the core group in our telecon, and so you'll get an invitation from him, so you can take a look at the initial document that the students are going to get.
Wow, cool.
So it's kind of a different. It's not the approach that we've been doing of taking the BioPortal clones and sandbox and working with that, kind of extending it. It's a little more of a radical kind of treatment of distributed repository. They're calling it implementing a web-based repository for distributed ontologies is the title of the student project sort of thing. I'm not sure exactly how many students will be involved, but there will definitely be multiple teams. So the idea being, let this groups, let the teams work and see what happens, and if something useful comes out of it, then you can reuse and extend it. Like, say, the idea being having this rapid prototype that then has basic functionality, and we can, people can extend it from there on.
Oh, sounds good. And okay. This is independent of the Onto IOP.
Yes.
It may lead to it, right?
But yeah, it's independent of it. Yeah.
So do you have anything to announce on Onto IOP? Because with the recent Berlin meeting, looks like they even said that they are going to try to get closer to OOR. Oh, Ken, you know what Onto IOP is, right? That's the ISO standard being developed for ontology integration and interoperability.
Right. So what the group wants to be able to do is use this proposed distributed ontology language, which is able to specify relationships between ontologies, mappings between ontologies. So a lot of that kind of the metadata that OMV does not have. And so we've been implementing that in Calore. So there are these DOL files that are describing Calore ontologies and how they're related to other Calore ontologies. But what the group really wants to do is be able to have, connect arbitrary ontologies, no matter what language they're written in, and show how they're related to each other. And so this really, I think, kind of would be a very useful sort of infrastructure in OOR, because we do want to have, multiple ontology languages being supported and ontologies written in different languages. So one of the initial ideas is to use one of the sandboxes where there's kind of a few ontologies that are there. I think what I'll do is I'm not sure which one I'll use, but kind of I'll upload the OWL time ontology, the OWL, put that up there, and then to have these DOL files kind of connect, say, Calore ontologies with that particular sandbox, or with the ontologies in that particular sandbox.
So do you see this being a sort of value-added service running on the sandbox, but bridging or at least accessing both, let's say, the calore.or.net and sandbox.or.net? Or do you see the service as sort of yet another sort of outside service that would access both?
Let's see. I think what initially we're looking at it as kind of supporting in a very conservative way, just kind of like supporting kind of federation, if you will, between these repositories. But I think ultimately the vision would be that this would actually be something that could be used to, can specify relationships between ontologies in some OOR implementation.
Okay. I'll just document the Onto IOP project will be making will look towards doing something with OOR.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
What is the what group is that? Who's involved?
If you go on the wiki and type Onto IOP, but with the first O, the capital O, and then the I O later capitalized. So O and then N T O lowercase, and then capital I, capital O, and then lowercase p. that'll get you to a page.
Yeah, I found the page.
Okay, that would be it.
Yeah, actually, just Google Onto IOP.
That's what I did. Working group.
So it's an ISO project, and there's kind of the group at Bremen is kind of leading it. I'm working closely with them. Fabian Neuhaus at NIST is working fairly closely. John Soa is involved quite a bit. There's a broader group of people who are kind of considered experts and you know, who will be kind of evaluating it and contributing in some way. That includes people from kind of other parts of the ontology mapping community, like Jerome Usenat, Maria Keats from South Africa. So I'm trying to think of like there's a fairly long list of people who are kind of nominally contributing, but actually haven't actually contributed too much. But yeah, it's meant as this ontology meta language, but the meta part focusing on relationships and mappings rather than the OMV style metadata.
Yeah, and Michael is one of the co-project leaders on this.
Right.
It's just I was looking at this list. I mean, yeah, it's quite a collection that you have on this page.
It just seems like that, you know, like the objectives of the project, you know, this idea of heterogeneous ontologies, distributed ontologies really is, like when we're talking about OR, I mean, one of the big things that we've been trying to focus on, like, you know, the group here now, right, is really generalizing BioPortal because it built in this restriction to kind of OWL RDF-based ontologies. And so if you really want to have something more open, I think this particular project is intended to give to provide, sorry, that infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're really nice for that.
Can I ask you a couple of questions, Michael?
Sure.
Yeah, I sort of joined the meeting late. Did they come to a conclusion whether this Carla Friedrichs person, whether she will represent Belgium or Germany?
She has to talk to the Belgians. She wants to represent Belgium, but she's going to talk to the Belgian group first.
Yeah, we don't have anyone from Belgium, so yeah. It obviously would be better. The other question I have is, on the slide, I saw that Christoph Longer is leaving. Where is he? I mean, leaving this project, leaving Bremen?
I think at the end of April, he's going to take a position at Birmingham, University of Birmingham.
In the UK?
The UK, yeah.
And so is he leaving Bremen, but would he be staying on the project, ISO project, or not?
That's not clear yet. He's not sure.
So, because the slide wasn't clear, and it just says he's leaving.
Yeah, it would probably be the case that he would not be working on the project anymore because he'd be kind of pretty well consumed with starting the new position.
Well, that would be unfortunate because he had really been contributing a lot to the project.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the hopes is that because we have to have that next draft finished at the end of April, he will at least be able to deliver that next draft. And the hope is that, you know, the rest of us will be able to kind of pick up the slack once he goes. But you're right, he doesn't work. He works very hard. And has done a lot to get the document in shape. He's a perfect editor.
Okay, back to Ken. Oh, you probably want to leave, Michael.
No, I got 10 more minutes.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, it was a 45.
Oh, right.
Okay. Great. The next topic is comparing notes. So I did a little bit of work where I actually finally managed to create a new page on BioPortal, but I discovered that creating a new tab is actually quite messy. It involves doing Photoshop or something, you know, to change some images. So it's by no means routine to introduce a new tab, which is too bad. I mean, the rest of it seems to be fairly straightforward. It's the tab part that's not so easy. However, I mean, as I showed in that example, it's still up there on the, if you look at the sandbox, I haven't removed it yet. If you go to OOR-03, in the second column underneath Browse Ontologies, you see a little link there called Experiment. Just says Experiment, and if you click on that, it takes you to the page I created.
Which one should we be looking at? 03?
03. I'll be removing that from this, from the sandbox, and put it on the test site, but it's still there. It was just a little experiment to see what can be done, and what I found was that, as I say, putting in a new tab up on the top of the page, that's something that's quite, that's not so easy to do because of the issues of, you know, Photoshopping. And whereas the other part, actually creating the page and the database, the table in the database, that's pretty easy. And then putting in a link on a page, like I did there, that was also pretty easy. So these are the parts that are easy. The hard part is the Photoshopping.
Why would that be the hard part?
Well, it's really hard if you don't have Photoshop.
Okay.
You can use GIMP.
GIMP, yeah.
But I'm not familiar with GIMP. I'm not sure how you would do that in GIMP. I'm just not the kind of person that knows how to do these things.
Okay.
It's not something I do very often, so I don't have much, you know, experience with it. Even if you do, I think it's a little tricky to get this stuff all to work because you have to have all the alignments exactly perfect. And you have to specify the locations of the various tabs within the image. If you look at the instructions, they are pretty messy. Mm. So I thought, I mean, why is it really necessary to have a tab? Could we just have a link like I created? I mean, it gets the functionality even if it doesn't have the user interface aspect.
Can you get a student who is adept with, like, Photoshopping? To do the grunt work?
I'm not familiar. I don't know any students who do that sort of thing. I don't teach courses in this stuff. Mm. But even so, I mean, it seems like it's, you know, quite different from, I mean, it ought to be possible to do something like this in a routine way, to just run a script and it creates a new tab. That's the problem. I mean, everything else, it's just a script. You just run this script, you know, give the information about what fields you want, you know, and pretty much takes care of everything for you. No, you know, nothing else needs to be done. You know, of any significance, whereas, you know, this problem of creating the tab, that's not something as far as I know, I could do with a script. I could just, you know, put a command in and out comes a new tab. So that's my problem with this, because, I mean, we are in the way we're doing things right now is, We're basically taking the current version of BioPortal and we're doing a customization of it. I'd like to automate as much of that customization as possible. If they make any little changes in the in their their image structure, that everything, all of that would have to be redone when we do customization.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could we suggest something that's meaningful to them? Not that they would take our suggestion, but at least we could try. Because
what
I mean, what you suggested now, I mean, provide a script so that if people run that script, a new tab will be produced. Because, I mean, that is their key modularization strategy.
Right.
And if they want people to stick to this strategy and extend BioPortal, then they should give us slightly better tools to do it. I can think of two ways. One is you find your own resources. I mean, a student maybe taught, maybe someone taught works with, who is adept with the graphics side of things. Maybe Ali Hashemi, I don't know, or some UI person. Because, I mean, graphics is something that UI people are constantly dealing with. So,
yeah.
So it's not unreasonable for them to expect UI skill sets. So you can't say that.
Yes, but that's not my point. It has to do with the amount of effort involved in doing this customization. You want to be able to make it really, quick and clean, or people are really not going to be very, interested in, setting up their own. This is the problem that basically we already had. Remember when we had, in order to make a new instance of the OOR, it was necessary to download the source code and go through this elaborate process. I don't know if you recall that. But
yes, but then they've improved. They now supply that in a virtual machine image.
Right, that was the whole point of going to the virtual machine image, was to avoid all these problems.
Right. So make the suggestion.
What I'm saying is we still have customization bottlenecks, and this is one of them.
All right, shall I document that? Maybe you would write up some suggestion?
I don't have any real concrete suggestion about how you deal with tabs.
No. Just
make it easier.
They suggest that they provide the tools so that it's easier. Yeah, as Michael said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Provide the tools so that you don't have to be, an expert in GIMP or Photoshop, and, that you can just basically run a script and say, I want a new tab that says XYZ, and bingo, there's a new tab. That's what I'm looking at. A lot of what they've done actually is really great. I mean, they've improved the customization to an enormous extent by using virtual machines.
Okay,
isolating a lot of the customizable parts in just a few files. That part is really great. It's just that custom adding a new tab and extending the functionality, that's still a bit of a bottleneck.
Okay, Ken, would you both refresh and then look below 35 and 6?
N6. So that's been my experience, yeah.
Good feedback.
I don't have a lot of suggestions, but I can give it a try. Yeah. See what they can do to improve this.
Okay. I actually forgot to make one report, which I'll do very quickly. You remember I have a new machine to set up. The machine is now up, but the virtual machine infrastructure, the virtualization infrastructure, which we are moving into, we're supposedly departing from SAN to KVM, which is the native virtualization Red Hat is supporting, which sort of by inference, SAN OS, namely a clone of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, is supposed to do. So we are running into some problems actually building out the new virtualization infrastructure. One thing though we noticed is that BioPortal was supposed to release their KVM based VM image 2 weeks ago, and they got delayed. We bet they are running into some problems that are similar. But so far, we have not been sort of closely communicating with them. Because, for example, I forwarded the note, the exchange. Originally, we invited Paul Alexander to join us at this meeting. And I guess their management probably felt that Paul should sort of focus his time on NCBO development. So we don't have a lot of communication. I have a suspicion that both parties are running into KVM problems. That's number one. Number two is I don't know if you guys are on the NCBO support mailing list. Someone was asking whether they could support an Amazon.com instance, so that they could sort of build it out of Amazon.com's EC2 infrastructure, and they said they're working on it. So I think it's a similar virtualization problem that they're running into. So that's the update. But Michael is leaving soon, so we better move to Michael. You have notes to compare on trying to get something onto the BioPortal code base?
No, not right now. No, I've been so focused on IOP that haven't had too much time to play around with the sandboxes. But that is kind of one of the things on like our agenda is to be able to kind of connect to ontology being one of the sandboxes.
Are your students working on this now, or is Cameron working with you, or did you find a replacement or support to Cameron?
Yeah, no, Cameron is definitely not responding to anything. So I have a couple of my students who are kind of helping along with some of this.
Okay, sounds great. So,
yeah, the students who are going to be working on that project, I guess it would be in March, they might be interested in looking at the way that BioPortal does the Ruby on Rails, you know, because they have this script that basically constructs all of the, all of the code.
Right.
You know, right from the UI all the way down to the database. So.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I'll definitely point them to that. Then. That'd be good. Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the University of Bremen students.
They might be interested in looking at that.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas Peter's had students. I'm talking about my graduate students in Toronto. So that's two distinct groups.
Yeah, you have some really good students.
Yeah, I like a great coder. I don't have any students that are fantastic coders, but they're good with the ontology. So.
Gee, our students seem to be the reverse.
You guys should team up.
They're good coders, but they're, you know, when I start mentioning ontology, their eyes glaze over and they slip out of the room.
Yeah, I actually recently run into one person by the name of Yingjie Li from Lehigh, who is getting his PhD this summer. And he seems to have all the right things. And he's in a group called SWAT, S-W-A-T, for Semantic Web and Agent Technology. And on his resume, he says he's good with Eclipse. I mean, he mentioned all the right words. He's good with Eclipse. He's good with, I forgot, maybe Java, Ruby on Rails, Semantic Web, RDF, RDFA, RAL, RAL2, I mean, not common logic though, link, open data, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I actually invited him to come see if he can put some time into this. He's looking,
that'd be cool,
like,
yeah.
He looks like, I mean, he could contribute because he sort of straddles both worlds, except that he said he has to meet his advisor this morning. So,
who is his advisor?
I don't
know. Probably Jeff Heflin.
He had co-authored paper with Heflin, so that's probably it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I have to go then.
All right. I think we better close this and
okay. I guess you should
next week.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to close everyone.
Oh no. I mean,
I think we're finished.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Right. We got as far as we could go. Anyway, hey, thanks, Michael.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Next week.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.